The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons, young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in age, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. In coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I wish to thank God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of you. That you are here. You are my family. We are family in Christ. And my family is 4.5 hours away. But when we gather and worship, feel like family. And actually, I'm not going to single out a family member, but my first cousin is somewhere over there with her family, right? So it's great to have family here, like blood here. That's my cousin. Pressure's on. But it's good to be his family. Here's a question for you as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Family, and we're gathered as family, and we come and render thanks to God like Simeon and Anna in the temple. Because we come into the presence of God when we come in here. Something beyond the pews, something beyond the building. Church is more than brick and mortars. It's the living stones, you and me. And we make up this mystical body of Christ, and we are family. But here's just a question to turn over as we all get ready to race into 2022. Because we all like to have resolutions, which is good. Who is a role model for me? Do I have a role model? Just pause. Who is my role model? There are many role models we have which are good, role models that point us in the right direction. I remember this past spring I went out to
It was a 12-for-1 deal. I call it 12-for-1 deal. In other words, I go to a Little League baseball game, and there's 12 kids on the field that go to the parish. And it's one game, but 12 kids. Problem is, I'm sitting in the stands, and you got the pitcher's parents on one side and the batter's parents on the other side. Who do you clap for? You know, strike, hit, whatever. But it's always to see in the little children getting up to bat, to see their desire in a way to imitate a role model. Maybe it's their favorite professional baseball player. They got the gloves on, they got all the stuff, they got the wristbands, they got all the stuff, they get up there. And it was really kind of cool. So one of the boys got up and he did kind of the stance, just like, just like Freddie Freeman. You know, he's doing his stance. I like the Braves, right? So he's doing his stance. He's getting ready to hit it. He's about ready to go, and then he kind of looks back, and he kind of sees me. I guess he saw me, maybe his mom and dad, but looked back, saw he had someone watching, and he looks back around, and he goes, yeah, sign of the cross, right? So you get those players, the sign of the cross, right? Imitation, right? Or sometimes you see, which is kind of, it's great. You see some of the little girls coming in, and they're dressed in the outfit of their favorite princess. Maybe Ariel, she's with Frozen, right? Ariel, right? Is she Frozen? I think she's Frozen. No, it's one of them, okay? You got Ariel, you got Cinderella, you got all of them, but your favorite princess. And it's really important to always remember, by virtue of our baptism, they're princesses in the world of kind of make-believe, but by virtue of our baptism, if Jesus is a king, that means we're all princes and princesses because he's our brother. So you're like a real princess, and I love the look of but they're trying to imitate a princess with the pretty shoes and dressed up nice and all that. But in the reality, we're actually princes and princesses because we enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're part of his family. One of our staff members told me, I'm not going to single him out, but because his daughter that's in pre-K is here right now, and I want to tell her I'm so proud of her, right? Saw her come in. But this staff member came up to me and says, you know, my daughter went to bed last night, and usually she goes to bed, you know, my wife took her up to bed, and she goes to sleep, and she's there, but she likes to sing for like 30 minutes. How beautiful is that, right? So he said last night she was singing, glory, glory to God in the highest, and to Jesus and his mom and his dad, whatever, just kind of started making things up. And I'm like, what imitation. Imitation is actually, it's one of the greatest ways of flattering somebody. For you little ones, when you flatter somebody, you honor somebody, you lift somebody up. To imitate somebody is to flatter somebody. The opening prayer talked about imitating the Holy Family, to imitate somebody. Now I want to talk about two words, and maybe there's a little one who's in the school. Can anybody tell me, little ones in the school, it's okay, we're in a Catholic mass, but you can raise your hand, okay? What is the thief of joy? Any little ones out there who go to school? Thief of joy. We got a hand? We got a hand? Does she know? You got a hand? Thief of joy? Okay. It's okay. Oh, we got a brave hand in the back. What's the thief of joy? What's that? Greed. You're close. You said greed. Greed's it. So that is 5-star, A+. The thief of joy, different from imitation, is comparison. And what I mean by that, it's okay to compare ourselves with others as long as we're comparing them. We know that we're uniquely, wonderfully, and beautifully made. We're part of this family, but God made us in a special way. And so what can happen with comparison, and for you little ones, this is what I mean by comparison, and I've fallen into that trap in my family. My cousin can even speak about that. She probably witnessed me in that. Comparison is when you're sitting there, and you open all the gifts, and you kind of go, huh, he got that, and she got that, I didn't get this, I got that. You start comparing yourselves. As adults, we can look at me and say, huh, he's got that, and she's got that, and they got this job, and we start comparing. Comparison can be a thief of joy. Imitation, we can imitate people in the right direction, and that can help us. We can also imitate people that don't lead us in the right direction. Let's talk about the Holy Family, because the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, okay? My heart really goes out to Joseph, and this is the year of St. Joseph, right? My heart goes out to him because he wasn't immaculately conceived. He wasn't true God and true man. But it says he was a righteous man. But let's get real about Mary and Joseph in a way. They did imitate. I don't know what it's like to be immaculately conceived, but Jesus was like us in all things but sin, so he imitated his foster father, St. Joseph, on how to carve and everything. It's not like he showed up and said, hey, I'm three, let me show you how to do it. I'm the creator of the world. No, he went in there and he imitated his father in his prayers, the way he walked, maybe the way he talked. Think of our Mother Mary, maybe, just maybe, and I love to think this way. Shepherds came, something turned over in her heart, because maybe her mom and her dad, St. Anne and St. Joachim, used to take Mary by the hand out to the shepherd's field because they were cold and give them a blanket or give them something to eat. Maybe Mary did that and she saw that in her mom and dad. She wanted to imitate them. She saw St. Joachim speak about it's okay to his wife Anne. We're okay with what we have. And so when tough times came for Mary, maybe in her heart, maybe I believe it's so, she looked to imitate what would my mom and my dad have done. In the same way with Joseph, when it got hard, there wasn't the cave, it needed to be clean. He needed to get up and go to Egypt. He had to go for the census. All these things that kind of derailed him. Where did he go in his heart? I'm sure he went to his father, or maybe his grandfather. Somebody who gave him an example, somebody he wanted to imitate. Our beloved Lord, true God and true man, he said it. Whoever sees me sees the Father. He strove to be a living example of the Father with his love. So he looked to his Father and he would say when he prays, I give praise to you, Lord God of my Father. I thank you because you have heard my prayer. Jesus became us like us in all things but sin. And he, the Son of living God, chose to imitate in a certain way. Who's my role model? It's okay to have good role models out there. But are my role models leading me in the way of Jesus? Leading me in the way to heaven? Leading me to where I'm going? And am I, when I have an opportunity to be a role model, am I pointing people in that direction? Who's my role model? It's okay to have role models. But we need to have one ideal role model. Our ideal as followers of Jesus Christ is our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is looking to Jesus. Mary was the greatest follower of Jesus. Joseph, a righteous man, letting the Holy Spirit lead his heart. If the Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary and she gave her yes, the Holy Spirit must have been guiding St. Joseph in his behavior, in the way he acted. And he let the Holy Spirit guide him. And what was the engine behind that was his love. Here's my invitation, not only to you, but also to me, because I've also made some resolutions for this coming year, and I've started to put them in action. It's just an invitation. How can I look to the Holy Family as my ideal model, no matter where I am in my walk of my life? What type of resolutions can I make this coming year to grow in that relationship with Him? Here's a first invitation. Silence. I invite you to pray about it as the new year comes up. Think about whether you're living on your own, whether you're with a family of 8 or 6 or 12 or however many. I was blessed to be one of 6 or a few. How might we as family, not comparing ourselves to everybody else, but how might we look to the Holy Family as an example of silence? Here's the invitation. You may already be doing it. If you're already doing it, up the game. Maybe go to 2, maybe go to 3, maybe to go to 4. If you're not doing it, don't beat yourself up, but I invite you to do it. One meal in the week. At least one meal around the table in your home. One meal where all the technology goes off and gets put aside and enter into a certain degree of silence. Maybe you're already doing that. Dedicate one part in your house to a house of prayer. You're a domestic church. Set it aside as the place to go to find a little silence. Put an image. If you don't have an image, put an image. Father Mike, when you walk out of our house, we have the image of the Sacred Hearts with the crucifix above it. The Holy Family right there. The ideal, the model. Can I have a room for some kind of silence? Spouses, help your spouses. Do what you got to do with the children to say, all right, I'm going to give you, even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the morning, what works better for you? The afternoon, when I come home from work, it's been a long day of work. Why don't you go for a walk in the neighborhood? Go with your rosary. Hold Mary's hand. The rosary is more than just praying the rosary. Mary gave it to us because we need to touch things. We need a mother's hand. When it's tough, we need a mother's hand. Like one mom in our parish told me, where a high school kid came over to their home, very active in Charlotte Catholic, playing all the sports, doing all the stuff. And he couldn't sleep when it was a sleepover. Came down and went to the mom and said, hey, do you have a rosary that I can hold? I'm having a hard time going to sleep. The mom was like, bam! Hold your mother's hand. Hold your mother's hand. Silence. Find a way to live that. Don't focus on running a marathon. Just a 1 mile. You know, put a little in there. Just try. Second, prayer. See where as a family you can come together and pray together. Here's my invitation. It's not going to be 25 invitations like silence. It's going to be one. Thank you, all of you who sent. And all of you who didn't send, don't feel bad. But when people send me a Christmas card with pictures, with names, I learned from my cousin, he and his family put it on a basket at their dinner table. And every night when they sit down to eat, they take it out and they thank God for that family. They pray for that family. I put all those Christmas cards with the pictures right in the center of the table for Father Mike and I. My resolution is when I pray and get up in the morning, I have my bowl of cereal and breakfast, is to pull one out, look at you, try to memorize the name, and pray for you. It's a great way, those Christmas cards, instead of just discard them, take the pictures, people go, use them, put them, make it active. Find a way to thank God. Bring prayer into the family in a simple way. We're very good at bless the Lord in these thy gifts which we're about to receive or have already received. That's okay, but can we get spontaneous and around the family, around the table, go around the horn and just say, what are you thankful for today? Just render a prayer of thanks. Teach your children to say thank you to God first and foremost. Prayer. And then finally, we have silence. We have prayer. Modeling the Holy Family, the ideal model for us to look to, service with the engine of love behind it. How might I serve? How might my silence and my prayer be a means to serve? We have an ideal role model. They're alive, they're real, they're praying for us. Let's set our eyes on them, look to them, and ask them to help us imitate them. And in so doing, we honor them.